there was a song that was popular when I was growing up, when I was a teenager or when I was, you know, of college age. And it was, give me, give me, give me what I cry for. You know, you got the kind of lips I'd die for. Does your flesh say, give me, give me, give me what I cry for? And do you feel that constant tension between wanting to do what your flesh wants to do and wanting to do what God wants you to do? I'm so glad you're going to listen. Life in the Spirit is what it's all about. And yet life in the Spirit is not easy. It will not go uncontested. Do you know why? Because it's life in the Spirit. It's the life of God in you, in the Spirit. And I'm just imagine me putting on my glove now. All right. It's life in the Spirit. God has come inside of you. He has brought His Holy Spirit inside. It's life in the Spirit, but you're still in a body of flesh. The glove is still there. The glove is still red. You're still in the flesh. So there's going to be a conflict, and you need to know about that conflict. You need to understand it, and you need to know how to live in the light of that conflict. So let's go to Galatians chapter 5. And I purposely did not open my Bible to Galatians chapter 5 because I wanted you to have an opportunity to get there. Galatians chapter 5. Remember, we're studying God's Word. We're looking at it ourselves. We want to see for ourselves what it says. And we want to know the Scriptures. We want to learn God's Scriptures so that Scripture can compare with Scripture and Scripture can interpret Scripture. And so that we don't take Scripture out of context. Context is king. Context rules overall. And context is the setting in which you find something. So when we go to the book of Galatians, a group of people have come along and followed on the heels of Paul, on the heels of Paul's missionary journeys. And when Paul leaves town, they come along and they're called Judaizers. And they're saying, oh, listen, yes, yes, Paul's right. You're saved by faith. But the way that you continue to live and get this flesh under control is by the law. You got to keep the law. You got to have that set of do's and don'ts, and you got to keep it. And that's not true. That's not the way you overcome the flesh. So when we get to Galatians chapter 5, after he explains about the new covenant and the old covenant and how you're saved by grace, now you're maintained by grace and don't go back under the law, now he comes to Galatians chapter 5. And what I want us to do is I want us to look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. And this is what he says. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. What is he saying? He's saying, hey, here you are, and Christ is in you, and because Christ is in you, the Holy Spirit is in you. But you, because you're still in the flesh, you can't do the things that you please. You can't take the car, so to speak, and put it in neutral and coast. You got to put it into overdrive. You got to put it into gear, the gear of the Spirit. Because if you don't, then you will drift right into the flesh. Because how long have you been living in the flesh? How long have you had this earthly body? Well, you've been living in it for as long as you are old. And so you're living in that earthly body. Before you came to know Jesus Christ, there were all sorts of appetites that you had. There were all sorts of things that you got involved in. There were all sorts of things that you let your flesh indulge in. For instance, if you've eaten chocolate candy, You know what it tastes like. And if there's chocolate sitting on the table, you may not have even been thinking about it. But all of a sudden, the hostess comes out, puts chocolates on the table. What do you want? You want, give me, give me, give me what I cry for. And it's chocolates. And so you want the chocolates. You've seen them and you desire them. And what he's saying is, look, until you die, until you have a bodily resurrection and this corruptible puts on incorruptible, then you're going to be in a battle. You're going to be in a battle between the flesh and its desires and the spirit and its desires. I always, many times when I'm teaching, and when I teach a crowd, I'm standing up. But when I'm teaching, I say, okay, over here's the flesh. And the flesh is saying, give me, give me, give me. And over here's the Holy Spirit. And he's saying, holy, holy, holy. And give me and holy. And you're right in the middle. And you feel like you're being torn in two. And your inclination, unless you're mature in Christ, is to go toward the flesh. And so that's why he says, put it in the gear of the Spirit and get going. So watch what he says. I want you to understand this. But I say, verse 16 of Galatians 5, walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. I know a professor, and he was a godly professor in a seminary, and he was praying with some of his men one day, and he prayed. He said, oh, God, keep me from being a dirty old man. Keep me walking by your Spirit, because he knew the power of the flesh. Now, you say, well, he's not very spiritual. He's human. And you and I are human. It is natural to retaliate. It is natural to defend ourselves. It is natural to lift ourselves up above others. It is natural to go for the biggest piece of meat on the platter. It is natural. That's natural. That's the flesh. The flesh is concerned about the flesh. The flesh is the flesh is the flesh, and the flesh stinks. Okay, and it's going to get you in trouble. So what do you do? This is what you do. He's saying, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. He is not saying, and you want to get this, he is not saying the flesh will not have desires. The flesh is going to have desires, and it can get all sorts of desires as time goes along. And so you want to be very careful about what you see, about what you think, about where you allow your mind to go. You want to be very, very careful, because you don't want to encourage the flesh. But, he says, if the flesh is crying, give me, give me, give me, you walk by the Spirit. Now, he goes on to say, the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are in opposition to one another, so that you cannot do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, remember we talked about being led by the Spirit. We saw in Romans chapter 8, all who are led by the Spirit, they are the children of God. And he says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, why did he bring up the law? Well, remember, we're looking at Galatians and the scripture in its context. And what their thinking was, okay, if I tell you that you no longer are under the law, if I tell you that you no longer, in a sense, are under the restrictions of the law to obey the law, then it's going to make you lawless. Then you're going to go out and commit adultery. Then you're going to go out and lie. Then you're going to go out and covet. Then you're going to go out and dishonor your father and your mother and all these things. And he says, no, wait a minute. It's not the law that makes you right. It's the Spirit that makes you right. The law gives you the standard. The Spirit enables you to keep the standard. So don't ever think that life is just a matter of you gritting your teeth and going for it and saying, I'm going to. Oh, no. It is, wait a minute, Spirit, take over. Fill me with your Spirit, God. Lead me in paths of righteousness. Give me your mind. I have your mind. Let me see this as it really is. This is life in the Spirit. So he says, now, if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. You're not under the law because the Spirit is going to keep the law. The Spirit is going to keep you from committing adultery. The Spirit is going to keep you honoring your parents. The Spirit is going to keep you from stealing. The Spirit's not going to say, hey, let's go out and steal today. Oh, let's go out and covet that man's house, that man's car, that man's wife, that man's servant. Let's go covet, covet, covet. No, no. That's the flesh that says that. The Spirit is saying, remember, holy, holy, holy. Now, he wants you to understand what the deeds of the flesh are. So he says in verse 19, now the deeds of the flesh are evident. They're evident. They are immorality, they are impurity, and they are sensuality. Immorality means you're out there doing it. Impurity means that you've just kind of got this mind that's always going in impure ways. There's sensuality, everything for the senses, how you feel, how you taste, how you look. You know, it's all in the senses. And then it says idolatry. Idolatry is when you put something between you and God, when you bow down to that, when you give it a place in your life that belongs to God, that's idolatry. Greed is idolatry. Colossians chapter 3 says that greed is idolatry. Going after things, having to make it, having to achieve a certain status in life, that's idolatry. It says sorcery. The word for sorceries is pharmakia. It means the use of drugs for magical purposes. Enmities. Enmities means, hey, you're always at war with someone. You're not reconciled. You've always got a case against someone. Strife. Strife. I mean, just yelling, screaming, going after each other, constantly biting one another, causing quarrels. That's strife. And he says jealousy. Jealousy is you look and you think, I deserve that. I should have that. They didn't mention my name. They only mentioned her name, or they mentioned his name. And you want what they've got. That's a deed of the flesh. Outbursts of anger. All of a sudden you're sitting there and you're saying, didn't you hear me? I am tired of this. Get off my case. That's an outburst of anger. All right. Disputes. Constantly fighting, dissensions. I mean, everything. I mean, you're going around in the place of business, or you're going around the church, or you're going around the family, and you're pitting one person against another. Factions. You're causing them to choose sides. Envying. Envying means, I wish it were me. I wish I had that. It's different than coveting, but it's envying. Drunkenness, and you know what that is. And carousing. And carousing is going to wild parties. And things like these. And he says, of which I forewarn you. And then he tells them something very important when he forewarns them. And it's something that you need to hear. So take a quick break, and we'll be back in just a minute.
I'm going to start a Bible study at my church.
This is the year I'm going to study the whole Bible in a year.
I'm going to make my will.
This is the year I reach my community.
This is the year that I'm going to teach new believers how to study the Bible for themselves.
This is the year I do my first precept study.
This is the year I'm going to teach my grandkids to study the Bible.
Precept Ministries is excited about 2017. And we want to help you make this your best year ever. Whether it's getting into Bible study for yourself, helping make an impact on your family and friends, or reaching out and helping others become established in God's Word, We want to help you. Visit precept.org/2017 to get started.
We are on the air because of friends who give generously to this ministry. Our financial partners at every level provide the faithful, ongoing support we need to touch thousands of lives every single day. To partner with us, visit preceptsforlife.com today. Your much-needed gift will help us reach the world with the Word of God.
Welcome back, my friend. I know that if you've listened to that list, you're wondering, now, wait a minute, because I've done some of these things. Does that mean I'm not a Christian? Let's look at what he says here. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5 and look at it yourself, because I want you to see it. As he brings that list to a close in verse 21, he says, envying, drunkenness, carousings. I mean, these are your wild parties. These are these parties that people are having that go on, you know, where, you know, there's just random sex and random flirtations and, you know, just all sorts of things. I mean, it's pretty bad. And then he says, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you. This is not the first time I've talked to you about this. He says that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, your answer to whether a Christian can even do something like that, or if a Christian does something like that, does that mean that they're not a Christian or they've lost their salvation? No, because remember, once you believe in Jesus Christ, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of your redemption. So that is a guarantee. The Holy Spirit's moved in and he's not going to move out. Now, you can grieve him, and the Bible says, do not grieve the Spirit who's in you. You can quench him, you can suppress him, but if he's in there, listen to me carefully. He's saying that if he is really in there, you will not practice as a habit of life these things. Practice as a habit of life. The word practice is the word do, but it's translated practice because it means keep on doing. It's prasso, P-R-A-S-S-O, and it means present tense, to keep on doing as a habit of life. If that's your habit of life, you may have made a profession of faith, but it didn't take. The Holy Spirit did not move inside of you, because when the Holy Spirit moves inside of you, you are no longer under the dominion of the flesh. Remember, we saw it in Romans chapter 8. You don't walk according to the flesh. You walk according to the Spirit. But Galatians 5 says, hey, there's a tension there. The flesh is desiring, the Spirit is saying, holy, 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 and there's a tension there, and you have to make sure that you shift the gear into the Holy Spirit so that you don't do those things. But if you are never able to shift gears, and the habit of your life is these things, which are the deeds of the flesh, he says, be forewarned, open up, come awake. Hey, wake up. Look at this, wake up. You are not truly born again. Let me take you to two scriptures that it's important for you to see and understand. The first one is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, okay? Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, and those are cross-dressers or male prostitutes, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers shall inherit the kingdom of God. You say, we're all lost, we're all damned. No. He says, and such were some of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified, set apart, made holy. You were justified, declared righteous in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God. Now, I was those things. I was an adulteress. I was sick to the core. But you know what? I'm not anymore, because the Holy Spirit is inside of me. And He just wants to make sure, and this is why Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, I'm forewarning you, I've forewarned you before. Why? Because there was a teaching, and that teaching was that once you're saved by grace, you could live any way you want to. And that's why the Judaizers were coming along in the regions of Galatia and saying to them, hey, you've got to be under the law. But that's because they didn't understand life in the Spirit. Life in the Spirit breaks the bondage of sin. Life in the Spirit sets you free so you're no longer a slave to sin. Can you still sin? Of course you can still sin. I remember, you know, one of the deeds of the flesh is outbursts of anger. And I remember, and this is some time ago, but I remember one day I was so mad at my husband that I could not see straight. I thought, you don't understand me. You don't know. You're not the kind of man that I need. I'm sure that God did not tell me to marry you. You know, I mean, I was in that state. I was so angry. And before I got saved, honey, I had a temper and I had a tongue, and watch out. After I got saved, the Holy Spirit came in and He really did change me. But today I was mad at Him and I just let Him have it. And what I did was I grabbed my keys and I ran through, not walked, real, real rapidly, real, real hard through the entrance to our house. I slammed something on the bench there and I swore. You wanna know what I said? No. How do you spell damn it? That's what I said. I was really, really angry. And I went out the door. I got in the car, and you talk about shifting it into gear, honey. I shifted into reverse, and I was in reverse. I was in reverse of walking in the Spirit. I mean, the flesh was having, it says, party, party, party. And we were partying. And do you know, though, the whole time I was doing that, the Holy Spirit was bugging me. The whole time I was partying over here, the Holy Spirit saying, you shouldn't be doing this. You know that you're wrong. You can walk by the Spirit. And I said, I don't want to walk by the Spirit. I want to let Him know. I got down the hill. We live on a hill at Precept Ministries. I got down the hill, around the curve, and there's a circle. And I circled it and went back up the hill, closed the door, walked in the house, and walked by the Spirit. And I confessed to God, and I confessed to my husband, and I asked Him to forgive me. And I said, I am sorry. I just walked by the flesh. Now, what is the fruit of the Spirit? If I had chosen to walk in the fruit of the Spirit, what would I have walked like? Well, in telling you my story, I forgot to take you to one more very important passage. So I want you to go one book to the right, Ephesians chapter 5, because I want you to see that it is so critical that you understand that if you're going to practice these things as a habit of life, you're not saved. If I constantly was blowing off, if I constantly was just one ball of temper and tongue and these things, then I had no ability to stop it, you would know that I was not saved. Listen to what he says in Ephesians chapter 5. He says in verse 6, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these, the wrath of God comes on the sons of disobedience. Now, What are these empty words? Well, this is what he says. He says, do not let immorality, any impurity, or greed even be named among you, as is proper among saints. There must be no filthiness and silly talking or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather a giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty. This you know with certainty. Do not be deceived. I have forewarned you that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these, the wrath of God comes on the sons of disobedience. Now, let's go back to Galatians chapter 5, all right? Now, so are you panicked anymore, precious one? Remember, this is not the lifestyle of a true child of God. But a true child of God, can a true child of God commit adultery? Yes. And you say, oh, well, good. I'm going to do that because I just want to do it and then I'll confess it. Oh, don't you dare. That shows a total lack of understanding of the Word of God. And He's going to take you to the divine woodshed and wear you out, and you're going to be so sorry if you do that. And a lot of my friends who have done it would tell you how grieved and sorry they are. By the way, you know what? I would love to hear your story. I would love to have you communicate with me or ask me any question that you want to. You can contact me at preceptsforlife.com. Preceptsforlife, one word, .com. And I'd love to hear from you over the internet through email. Now, let's go back to Galatians chapter 5, because I've got to leave you on a good note, although we're going to go into this in greater depth in our next program. But he turns and he shows you the deeds of the flesh. Now he's going to show you a contrast, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Look at the contrast. Patience. Okay, your outburst of anger. Patience. Kindness, your tongue, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. You don't need a law to bring these about. All you need to do is let the Spirit lead you. Let the Spirit fill you. And when you do that, precious one, then you're going to have the love and the joy and the peace and the patience and the kindness and the goodness and the faithfulness and the gentleness and the self-control. It's a ninefold fruit. He says, now, those who belong to Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. In other words, what is it said to the flesh? It is said, death to you. Crucified. I'm putting you to death. I'm not going to allow you to control my life. And he says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Oh, beloved, there's more to learn, and we're going to learn it in our next program. But I would just urge you to get on your knees and say to God, God, teach me what it is to walk by the Spirit, to experience the fruit of the Spirit, that I might show people life in the Spirit.
Additional Bible study materials are available through Precept Ministries International.